We are starting out in Psalm 107, which has the very same words at the beginning that make a good memory verse for us today, especially with Thanksgiving coming on. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. I know some translations probably say kindness because that's what the song said so many times. Might have just fit with the cadence of the song. But give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His love endures forever. Perfect verse, a perfect memory verse for this year, for this week, and especially for Thanksgiving. We got it coming. All of you folks have some plans to go out and do things. Obviously, all of our college young people have, because they've all spread out and gone home all the way up to Texarkana and down to Sinton, Texas, and one of them all the way up to the state, the great state of New York, as Angus has finally left us to carry on with the rest of his plans. We won't be seeing him again, and we're going to miss him, but of course we'll get others back, and some, of course, we know are out being sick, but let's hope we have a wonderful week this week in Thanksgiving. And so I thought, you know, just make this simple for us today and think about ways that we can express our Thanksgiving. And I've come up with four that I think are, of course, biblical, and all of them fit together. So it's not a kind of a pick-and-choose cafeteria sort of thing here to do ways to express. But these are all ways that we can express Thanksgiving to God. And so you've got notes, by the way, in your bulletins now. You can fill in the blanks. And so the first blank to fill in is that you can celebrate it. Celebrate it. How do I express my thanksgiving to God? You celebrate it. And this is so appropriate, isn't it? Aren't we going to be going to Thanksgiving and to celebrate? And I think about our forefathers and how much wisdom they had in determining that we have a time, this time of year, of course, perfectly, to celebrate. You know, the Old Testament people did the same thing. They celebrated by festivals. And you think, well, the festival is just sort of like to their benefit. It's sometimes a great things to have. It's a time to have just a great time with one another. And surely that's it. But there's also the celebration. I find in Exodus chapter 10 that Moses told Pharaoh, we want to take our young and old and our sons and our daughters. We want to take our flocks and our herds, and we want to go away from here a great distance. And his reason was to celebrate a feast to the Lord. We want to celebrate. And so it's a good thing to celebrate to God. The word celebrate in the Hebrew actually means to observe, but it also means to cherish. We want to think about things that we've been blessed by, with, and by God. And we want to be reminded of them in a special kind of way, where we're happy about those things and we celebrate those things. And so as God's people, it's a celebration. I mean, we do it all the time, birthday parties. What are you doing with birthday parties? You're not only celebrating somebody's birthday, but you're basically saying, I'm glad that you were born, you know, and I'm glad that you are special to me and you have a special day. And I love it when Tim reminds people of birthdays and stuff. It's a way of just saying that person is important and we care about that person. We cherish that person. And so, you know, that's one way that we can do it. I ran across this. So Martin Luther said that the great God's gifts and works, the greater God gives us gifts and works, the less they are regarded. And when I thought about that, I thought, well, that's not really true with me. And probably not you either, but evidently, surely there are some that don't even really think of all the blessings that they have, and they don't have a way of sharing those or regarding those or honoring God. Do you know there were three festivals in the Old Testament that all the men had to appear at? And one of them was the Passover. That makes sense. And of course, that's the time when Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross as our Passover lamb. And so that's a good thing for us to celebrate as well, the crucifixion of Christ and being offered as our forgiveness of sin. But the second one was Pentecost, believe it or not, Pentecost. And the book of Acts starts in Acts 2 with the day of Pentecost, and that's the beginning of the church. Well, the Pentecost was the day of first fruits, if you will. It was 50 days after the Passover, which was in the spring when planting was made, and then the first crops were coming on around Pentecost. And so it was to thank God for the harvest, the initial first fruit of the harvest. And then the third one was called the Feast of Ingatherings. It was when the people in the fall, like we are now, celebrated all the harvest and all that they've received now. And the harvest is over, and they've got all their goods stored up, and they're thanking God. They have a festival to thank God. And so we're at a time like that when we are celebrating to God all the things. Now, for us, of course, most of us aren't agricultural. You can go to HEB or Randall's or whatever in the middle of the year. It doesn't matter when, and everything's there. But they lived where they were completely aware that the harvest, what has been given to them, has just finished. And they've got all this blessing from the Lord. And so they would celebrate it with a festival, which is, of course, tied to our Thanksgiving. But we can use our Thanksgiving just to thank God for, well, for our country, for our families, for our occupations, for the way He has blessed us in our lives. In Nehemiah chapter 8, when the wall was completed, Ezra got up and read the scriptures to them. And the Bible says, then all the people went away to eat and to drink, so to have a Thanksgiving, if you will, to send portions of food to others and to celebrate with great joy because they now understood the words that God, that had been made known to them. And so when Ezra read the scriptures, they understood things from their history and their past, how God had blessed them and chosen them and led them and protected them and taught them, and they celebrated those things when they realized that. So that's a good thing to do, is to celebrate, and that's the way to say thanks to God. And so I don't guess we need permission, but in essence, God is giving us permission to spend some time this week in Thanksgiving. But of course, we should do it all the time. Here's another way to do it, and that is to say it. To just say it. Thank God. How often, on a scale of 1 to 10, how often, or where would you measure how often you thank God? Just think about that when you pray. I would assume we would. I would think that, especially God's people, we're aware of what God has done for us. And so when we pray to God, we thank God. It's so much better to thank God in prayer than to always immediately go to God with whatever problems we have and whatever complaints maybe that we have, and instead come to God and just thank God for what we do have. Because there are things that we are not going to have, and so instead of focusing on those things, focus on the things that we have, you know. And thank God for things. So think of it in that sense. Don't be like the ten lepers who were told by Jesus to go to the priest and make offerings to them. And when they did, they were cleansed of their leprosy. And one of them realized that he was cleansed because of Jesus. And he turned around and went back and found Jesus and verbally thanked him. He actually did. Read it in Luke chapter 17. He said, thank you. And Jesus wanted to know where the other nine were, you know, to come and thank. maybe Luther's right that we take a lot of things from God, his gifts and his good works, and they're not even really regarded. We don't really think about all the good things that the Lord God has given us. And so, again, just think about how often do you thank God for the things in your life. Now, Psalm 107 is a good say it chapter, a good say it psalm. Our memory verse again is, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. But did you know that Psalm 107 then, and we just sang it, and a lot of the words in the song were coming from this psalm. He says in verse 4, here's the first example of people who should give thanks to God. It would be those who wandered in deserts and wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were lost, they were homeless, they needed the Lord, and the scripture says that they cried out to the Lord, and he delivered them in their distress. He led them to the city and helped them to settle. And so verse 8 then says, give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wondrous deeds for mankind, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. There's the first thing to thank God for, to say to God, Lord God, thank you for providing me with good things. Thank you for giving me a home. Thank you for giving me security and helping me find my way to you. Here's another group. Some sat in darkness, in utter darkness. They were prisoners of suffering and chains. The problem was they had rebelled against God and despised his plans, and because of that, their labor became bitter. So it's their own fault, Scripture's telling us. But instead of just God denouncing them, the Scripture tells us in verse 13 that they cried then to the Lord in their trouble, their self-made trouble that they deserve, and yet he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and broke away their chains. And so verse 15 says, again, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. Now, guys, we could apply that even spiritually in our salvation, breaking down the chains of darkness, or just in our lives of the wicked things, the bad things, the bitter things that happen in our lives, or that may happen in our lives, and God then saves us from those things. And so that's our second group, the people that of their own accord had got themselves in deep trouble, and they cried out to God, and God forgave them. He didn't say, well, you're getting what you deserve. They cried out to him, and God responded. And so, of course, they turned to God and gave him thanks. Here's the third group. Well, some became fools through their rebellious ways, and they suffered affliction because of their iniquities, their sinful behavior. And, of course, then they went hungry. They loathed all food. They drew near to the gates of death. And so they cried out to the Lord. Again, maybe they're getting what they deserve, but instead they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. So people who are in their distress, he sent out his word, and he healed them. He rescued them from the grave. And so the scripture tells us in verse 21, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. And then finally, the last one. Some went out to ships and into the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waves, and they saw the works of God and his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. Just imagine someone on a ship going up and down, and how dangerous it felt to be out in the middle of the ocean with all these huge waves. And there, in their peril, their courage melted away. They cried out to God because of the danger that they saw themselves in. They reeled and they staggered like drunkards, and they were at their wits' end. They just knew they couldn't save themselves. And so they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. Kind of almost like seeing Jesus walking out to the disciples on the stormy seas, and of course, whenever he was sleeping in the back of the ship, and there was a storm, and the people, the disciples were so distressed. "Don't you care for us?" And Jesus woke up and he just stilled the waves. And so they cried out and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper, and the waves of the sea were hushed. And so they were glad and it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. And then finally, verse 31, "Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders." I love that psalm because it just gives different ways in which we find ourselves in need of God, and we cry out to him and God responds. And our response then needs to be to thank God and give God thanks. And to say it, if you notice that, say it. Let them exalt him in the assembly and express that to the Lord. And the scripture tells us in Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in name or deed, do all to the Lord in giving thanks to God. And so that's the second way, is just to say it. Just tell God. Just in your prayers, thank God. And think of things that you can thank God for in your life. And here's the third one, and that is to share it. Well, you know, you've been blessed, so what should you do in return? Well, bless other people and share your blessings to other people. The first one to ever pay forward was Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for us, and then we ought to do whatever we can for other people. God's done good things for us, and we ought to return the favor and do good to other people. I ran across this article in Psychology Today, and it has to do with this very topic. And Charlotte Bronte says, "Happiness quite unshared can scarcely be called happiness. It has no taste." And so when you have happiness in your life, what should you do? Share it with other people. Happiness unshared scarcely can really be called happiness. In The Common Reader, Virginia Woolf writes this: "Pleasure has no relish unless we share it." Every one of you guys, we can think of times where we've enjoyed something. Maybe we've been by ourselves. You've watched this just wonderful program, and you just wanted to tell everybody, "Oh, you should have seen," you know. But, you know, it's so much better, is it not, if you share it with other people at that time, you know. At our house, we have the back of our house, the hill kind of drops away, and we got a few trees at the back, and you can see for a long ways. And so you can see the sunset from where we are, and ever so often, one of our family members will come to everybody else and say, "You got to go outside and you got to see the sunset." You know, the back of our house face the west, and we'll run out there and see this beautiful sunset. Well, you know, you like to share things. You know, when you see something that's wonderful, you want to share it with other people. And, you know, whenever you've been blessed, and this is the point, the way that you can thank God and show your thankfulness for the things that you've been blessed by is to share things with other people. Bible says God has given us forgiveness in Psalm 103 and verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far removed are our transgressions. Bible tells us that he's basically taking them and he's thrown them into the sea, a long ways away from us. And you know, you think about that, how God has given you forgiveness, and should we not practice forgiveness to other people? And I mean really forgive them. He's removed them as far as east is from the west from us. And so he doesn't see the sin in our lives anymore. And shouldn't we be that way with other people? You know, forgive them and don't always remember it, you know, bring it back up again. Even though you've been forgiven, I still remember when you did, you know, X, Y, Z, you know. Or we think that, you know, we still think about something in the past in somebody's life. Forgive them. And that's how you can be thankful as well. is to share that forgiveness with other people. Be forgiving yourself of other people because God has been forgiving of you. And here's the last one, and the lesson is yours, and that is just give it. Now that's, you think, like sharing, but give it in the sense that we're thinking of giving to God's church, giving to God's work. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 12, Paul is writing to the Christians at Corinth about, and chapter 8 is included as well, about taking what they have and giving it to some Christians in another place back over around Jerusalem. They were having a real famine over there, a real rough time. And so Paul writes to the Corinthians and encourages them to give of their means to the Lord's cause, to God's people. And of course, the Bible teaches us that we should give to one another. We should give to our home congregation. And so that's a way of saying thanks to God. It is a giving of the Lord. Paul writes that this service you perform, that is in giving help to others, giving to the Lord's people, is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, Paul writes, but it is also an overflowing with many expressions of thanks to God. And so giving itself is thanks to God. You're saying thanks to God. And, of course, in the Old Testament, a lot of the giving to people, there was one group of givings that was called thank offerings. And it was offering simply back to God to just thank God for what he's done for us. And so that's the way we can do it as well. We ought to give thanks to the Lord, and I would recommend in these different ways, in celebrating it, in saying it to God and to others, and to sharing it with other people wherever God has blessed us. Let's bless others. And then giving also to God. All of these things together are how that we can show our thanks to God and express thanksgiving to God. And so hopefully you'll remember some of this this week when you're at Thanksgiving. I know at Thanksgiving it's all about pumpkin pies and turkey and dressing and the Dallas Cowboys or whatever else it could be. And those are great things because celebrating is a good thing. But while you're doing it, remind yourself, part of this is just thanking God. This is called thanksgiving. And so I want to give thanks to God this week. But let's make it a habit all of our lives and all the weeks that we live. Amen. Let's thank God.